This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, yeah, it's the Hoffman Show. Bunch of mean motor scooters with you on a Monday here on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Anthony, we got to quit moving the camera, man. Now you're...
Where is
like,
it at?
Look like you're 8 feet tall.
Which one is it?
I'll move you. It's in the screen.
Is
it's
it this
fine.
One?
That one, yeah. But there it is. You went a little bit far. It's okay. I'm gonna adjust you from here. You stay right there. You're looking absolutely beautiful, sir.
The thing is, there's a third camera in here, right here. It doesn't work yet.
Oh, that would be great. Exactly. Then you can look at the board and whatever. But then we're both not looking at each other, which is a whole bit anyway. But then maybe I'll put myself back on
the right side. No, the left side.
I don't know.
The left side.
I don't know anything.
Because you'd
just
be on the left side now.
I just work here. I just work here at the place that is Washington, D.C.'s home for the Maryland Terrapins, a team that is headed back to the Sweet 16 for the first time since 2003. That really was setting up with like some air horns.
2016. This is the second time.
Second time since 2003.
Did you say second time?
I said first time.
Oh. Well, you said second time, I thought.
Oh, I thought you had told me it was the first.
Second since 2016. I mean, second since 2003. God.
We're
all over the place.
Happy Monday. Happy Monday. We're bad at our jobs. We're bad at our jobs. Okay, so you're telling me this is the first... It would be the first Final Four since 2003.
Final Four?
If they make it. If they make it.
Yes.
Okay, so this is the second Sweet 16 since 2003.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so now if I hit the download button and I do that, and then I go here, this means nothing to the people on the radio. However... On the YouTube stream, we're going to have a corrected graphic in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Boom.
Ta-da! Maryland has advanced to the Sweet 16 for the second time since 2003.
Hey!
Pew, 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 pew!
See, I wish I had my...
The air horns? You had so much time to prepare.
I know.
As I was doing all that. Anthony, they made it as hard as possible,
man,
on themselves. And I posted last night during the game. It was also very funny. So Kevin Sheehan is going to join us at 5 o'clock to talk about this more. But I was watching the Twitter feeds of JP Finley, our dear friend, and Kevin Sheehan, our dear friend, who were just losing their ever living turtle minds as two Maryland alums who care deeply. Kevin, slightly more analytical. JP in full fan mode. How is that guy not ejected? Throw the refs into a river. I don't think he actually said that, but he probably wanted to. And the officiating was not great. I do think it was probably more even than a lot of Terps fans realize. It was bad, and when officiating is bad, you tend to feel the bad calls that go against you more than the bad calls that go for you. You tend to be like, oh, never mind. Okay, that was fine. So you had that. But I think the bigger issue for me moving forward is dog. Derek Queen is going to be a top 6 to 8 pick probably in the upcoming NBA draft. How do we get that dude the basketball more? That needs to be Kevin Willard's entire question this week. To say, hey, and I realize, look, I'm not going to pretend like I've watched more Maryland basketball this year than I have. I'm not going to pretend like I'm going to parachute in and be the all-knowing thing. And I realize that Maryland is very built on balance. They have a lot of really good players, all of whom score in double digits. But there is one who is going to be a top 10 pick in the NBA draft in 2 months. His name is Derek Queen. Yesterday, he was very clearly the best player on the floor. And I posted that after he had that monster block with about 3.5, 3:50 to go, somewhere in there, he just comes out of nowhere and just corrals the basketball. Like, son's a dude. We are not in the same age bracket. Hey, that kid needs to play up a level, right? Type of block. That was the only time he literally touched the basketball until the possession where he had the game winner, I do believe. He might have had one quick, like, give-and-go touch. But that was the only time he had a touch I don't even think he had a rebound, which, you know, that's kind of on him, and also the game flow. But, you got a guy that skilled, you got to give him the ball. And I think that's the thing that drives me nuts about college games sometimes is you have these guards that are more dominant or more senior or whatever, and it's just like, I don't know, was Baylor going to win the ball if VJ Edgecombe got the ball more? Probably not. But should be VJ Edgecombe, a guy who's going to be a top 5 pick in the upcoming draft, probably have gotten more shots against Duke? Probably. Seems like a good idea. And that's a thing that I do appreciate at times about the NBA game. And again, I'm not saying like the NBA game is way better than college or, you know, personal preference. But like, I think on a pure strategic standpoint, the NBA guys understand, hey, that guy's the best guy. We're going to get him the ball. And I think for Maryland specifically, when you got one dude who I know you're built on balance, and I'm not saying that you need to force feed him a bunch of shots. What I am saying is to go at a point where you're struggling to score that long without getting that dude a touch involved in your offense to make the defense react to him when he's that much better than everyone else, that seems like a strategic error, and they are lucky that the same guy they made the strategic error about then bailed them out with a moment of individual brilliance as the buzzer went off, and ultimately Maryland was able to win that basketball game.
Yeah, I mean, and that's been the thing about Maryland all season long. They have a balanced attack. Like, sometimes the guards are really going, and sometimes the bigs are really going in. The fact that, you know, Rodney Rice, you know, was struggling a little bit. He went 5 for 17 from the field. Jacoby, he wasn't, you know, able to get off either, and tell McGill either. I think you just got to take advantage of the size advantage that you had. And I feel like after the first, you know, 10 minutes, 12 minutes of the game where they were bringing the double, they stopped bringing the double. And I don't know why we didn't exploit that a little bit more. Juju, he got going a little bit in the second half, being able to, you know, get to a spot, shoot the floater. But we got to go through the bigs, man. We have to, especially when we have the size advantage. But I'm just happy to see that we were on the right side of a buzzer beater because, again,
oh man,
if we would have lost, Craig, oh my gosh, 5 losses? Your last 5 losses to end like that?
On buckets within the final 5 seconds? The opponent's final shot?
Yep.
In regulation?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and then CBS just setting it up.
Yep, the entire time.
and like, it kind of came up late, right? And then Lisa Byington, who's doing the play-by-play, she's so good, by the way.
Yeah.
Quickly say, the play-by-play talent, the quality of announcing on the men's tournament compared to the women's tournament, ESPN, we got to step that up. Your halftime show's incredible. The Big Three is fantastic. Your top crews are great. We've got to get a little deeper bench or use some better people. Okay, now that I've said that very quietly. Like, that crew is great. Like, Jalen and Robbie Hummel, who, by the way, I do believe Robbie Hummel is going to join us tomorrow on the show. Great crew, but it was really funny. Jalen's like, see what you're doing there. And Lisa's kind of got this like, hey, I just do what I'm told. The truck played the highlight package. What do you want me to do about it? And it's either setting up to add another one to the heartbreak or to be like, we finally bucked the trend. And thank God Derek Queen bucked the trend because Maryland definitely felt like they were owed one. That was an end of game that was very exciting. That was an end of game that was tolerable. However, the rest of this tournament and college basketball in general, we got a problem we got to talk about. And I can illustrate it from the seat of my bicycle. I'll explain next on the Hoffman Show on the Team 980 and always live as well on the free Odyssey app.